Good morning. Woo! Nice and loud this morning. Keep everybody awake, in case you didn't get the coffee. A little commercial, if you will, before we get started. We will be doing our series in Philippians this week, and then next week we transition into our Advent series. And here's my encouragement. Grab a friend, grab a relative that needs to know about why Jesus came. Grab a friend or grab a relative that you know has yet to, we'll call them pre-Christians. They have yet to respond to the gospel. They're ripe for the harvest, and maybe they just need a little understanding of why Jesus had to come, why Jesus had to do what he did. Would love for you to bring some friends, because this good news that is great joy, that's for all the people. That's not just for us, okay? That's for everyone. Let's fill these seats over the next few weeks. Let's see what God wants to do through this sermon series. Let's see how God wants to touch the lives of people with the gospel right now at Christmas. Well, choices. I hope the biggest choice you had this past week was, do I have another slice of pie? Choices, choices, choices. We make lots of choices through life. Big choices, little choices. We're used to that. What college should I attend? What should I major in? Should I date him? Should I get married? Where should I work? Should we have kids? How many kids should we have? Why does God keep giving us kids? I'm just kidding. I love all my kids. But do you realize that laboring for Jesus Christ is not a choice? Do you realize that what God has commanded us to is to be fruitful in labor? And this is not a choice. Too often we treat serving Christ as a choice, not a command. As believers in Jesus, we're asked to join him in his ongoing work. We're created for this relationship with him. And as a response of love, we're called to join him in the work that he's continuing to do. His desire is for us, all of us, to be fruitful in ministry all the days of our lives. And that was the goal of the Apostle Paul. He wanted to be faithful. He wanted to be fruitful in ministry. And he said it like this. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. We'll continue where we left off last week, chapter 1. We ended last week with that great verse in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we pick up in verse 22, and Paul says this. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which shall I choose? I cannot tell. Hard-pressed between the two, my desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I'll remain and will continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning desiring to hear from your word, to hear from your Holy Spirit, to be teachable, and yet each comes with a heart that's been busy this week with family, with friends, maybe travel, maybe shopping. Quiet our hearts. Fill this place with your Spirit. Give us teachable minds, give us teachable hearts. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my refuge. Amen. Now in this passage, it seems as though at first glance, we might actually have a choice in living or dying. That's not really the case. That's not even the point that Paul is making. And in fact, This is a rhetorical question that Paul is asking, and he's simply reviewing the outcomes of what might happen while he's in prison. Paul is in prison. He's writing a letter to his dear friends in Philippi, and he's reviewing, okay, now if I am still in prison and I'm let out, great, that's going to mean fruitful labor for me. But you know, if this thing ends badly, I get to depart and I get to be with Christ. I get to leave all the suffering and pain, and I get to be with Jesus Christ forever. Can you hear the passion in Paul's writing? I could stay here and I could labor for Christ, or I could be with Christ. What Paul is painting is not this choice of should I live or should I die, but what Paul is painting is a win-win situation. If I'm here and I labor, it's a win. If I die and I'm with Christ, it's a win. We go back to verse 21. Living, Christ. Dying, gain. It's really not a choice. Paul understands the outcome is fully out of his control. Paul affirms the sovereignty of God in many other places. And so for him to say that he has a choice of whether he should live or die would be to deny all the doctrine that Paul has already written about the sovereignty of God. Paul is more just ruminating of, wow, if I'm released, I can do fruitful ministry. But if not, I get to be with Jesus forever. Choices, choices, choices. But it's really not a choice for you and I to make. That's really a choice for God to make. So I'm going to assume for a moment that God has you here on earth and that God is not done with us yet. I'm going to assume for a moment that you and I are going to stay here on earth until either A, Christ returns in glory. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. Or B, he calls you home. Now let's just say that the Lord tarries in his return. And let's say we're given a certain amount of time, which I cannot define. I am not God. But I believe that what Paul is driving at in this passage is that those that are here on earth, those that call Christ their Lord, their Savior, are here for a reason, and that is to labor. Fruitful labor. I believe the point of this passage is that our days here on earth, numbered though they are, and only God knows that, but our days here on earth are actually for fruitful ministry. We, you, me, together, we combine forces and we labor for the cause of Jesus Christ wherever God has you. We, you, and me labor here on earth for the cause of Christ until that glorious moment when he either returns or calls you home. There's really not a third option that Paul's painting here, though we like to oftentimes think that. See, Jesus is calling you and I to bear fruit. The calling for all disciples, not just the vocational disciples, starts with a simple command: abide in Christ. In fact, Jesus says it this way in John 15, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. The very posture of bearing fruit, fruitful labor, as Paul puts it, fruit that benefits others, can only be done when we are fully connected to and receiving our spiritual nourishment from Jesus Christ himself. Bearing fruit could be only possible because Jesus himself bore fruit, much fruit, while he was here on earth. See, for 3 years he had a public ministry here on earth. He chose 12 who would be called apostles. One betrayed him. But those 11 that were left such a legacy that now nearly 2,000 years later, there are billions of people who claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is fruitful ministry. And he's calling you and I to continue that work until that glorious day when he returns. What Paul is portraying to the Philippians is two lives, as I mentioned. The first is a life lived for Christ. It is fruitful ministry. This is a productive life. This is a life filled with laboring for Christ, abiding in Christ, and seeing fruitful ministry as a result. The second is death and to be with Christ. This is to cease your earthly life and to enter into eternity in heaven and to be with God forever. But I want you to notice something, and I want to be very clear. There's only two options. Two options. Living or dying. It goes back to verse 21 again. To live, Christ. To die, gain. Two choices. How are you going to use your days here on earth for fruitful ministry? Let's look at three ways that our days here on earth are for fruitful ministries. The first is living means laboring. Living means laboring. Oh, I loved some of those early jobs that I had. I remember in college, I had a job as a painter. And I would go in with a work crew and we would paint dorm rooms in the summertime. And, you know, these are dorm rooms. They're a box. And we have off-white paint. And it's really, we're doing nothing artistic whatsoever. We're covering up all the nonsense that happened during the school year. Let's just put it that way. And I remember the first day, here we are, we're getting trained on how to work as the paint crew. And I think I received a whopping 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes of instruction, paint, brush, roller, any questions? Here's how you put on tape. Okay, all right. So we get to work. And it's about lunchtime. We stop for lunch, and our supervisor comes back and says, whoa, what are you guys doing? We're painting rooms. I think we had done 12 at that point or something like that, our paint crew. They're like, no. You guys need to slow down. See, if you keep working that hard, they're going to expect you to work that hard all summer. Well, funny, I thought they hired us to be painters. It turns out the full-time employees there were very interested in working hard, but they weren't working hard at painting. They were working very hard at avoiding work. I mean, there were so many places that they figured out where to hide on the university, and they would couple with other full-time employees, and there would be lookouts. Oh, my word, you guys are working so hard at not working. And I thought the whole point of being hired as a painter was to paint. Evidently, it wasn't. Evidently, it was to avoid work as much as possible. Paul says this, if I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. If I'm to live in the flesh, verse 22, that means fruitful labor for me. For Paul, living equaled fruitful labor. Doesn't mean a confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and then do little. It's producing spiritual fruit, fruit that benefits others and helps feed others spiritually. It's staying so close to Jesus. It's staying so close to Jesus that Paul receives his spiritual nourishment from Christ so that he can give it away to others for their benefit. Fruitful labor is not selfish labor. Fruitful labor is not avoiding labor. Do we have a command to labor for the gospel? Do we actually have a command to get out and to work for Christ? How are we to live once we confess Christ as Savior? Well, let's look at just Paul for a moment. Let's look at how he would encourage the churches he wrote to for just a moment. And Paul says this to a number of churches. First, he said to the Romans, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. In other words, Paul is eager to labor for Christ. He is not shirking his responsibilities. He's saying, I am ready to work. I'm ready to work hard, and I will come to you, and I will preach the gospel. He said to the Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In other words, what he's saying is, I've resigned myself to Christ. Whatever happens now is a direct result of Christ being in me. I am ready to labor. I've emptied myself of everything. He said to the Ephesians, of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. I am ready, he says to the Ephesians, to pour out myself to the gospel because grace has been extended to me. To the Thessalonians, he said, for you remember, brothers, our labor and toil while we proclaim the gospel to you. Here is a man who is not trying to find ways to do less. Here is a man fully committed to a life of service for Christ. Paul is a guy, and he's telling the Philippians, you know what? If I'm going to live, it's going to be fruitful labor. If I'm going to live, I'm going to live out all these other things that I've said to all the other churches. I'm going to be laboring faithfully for Jesus Christ. That's why Paul, in essence, is saying, I am here. I'm not here for my own comfort. I'm not here for my own gathering of stuff. I am here for ministry. Paul wants the Philippians to know, if I stay, I'm going to be laboring hard. Don't expect this to be a great vacation for me. If I go, it's only because it's time to be with Jesus. Ah, choices, choices, huh? Let me ask a question. Are you living? Are you laboring for Christ? Are you living? Are you laboring for Jesus Christ? I don't mean, are you simply a church attender? I don't mean, do you read your Bible? I don't mean, are you praying? What I'm asking, what I'm really driving at is this idea of fruitful labor. Have you been so convicted by the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Have you been so convicted of what Jesus has done on the cross for you that you say, you know what? For me to live is Christ. I fear that American Christians are becoming like that paint crew. I fear that we are finding ways to avoid the labor that God has called us to. My friends, this is not a salvation by works. Please do not misunderstand. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone that we have salvation. But our response from that is a response of love and joining Him in what He has called us to. Let me be clear. Salvation is by grace. But then a life from there is to be lived for Christ, fruitful labor. Not hiding here and there, not slowing down the work production to say, well, you know what? He's just going to expect us to do more and more. The more we do, He's going to expect more. You know what? There might be a principle that Jesus talked about that's true about that. He who's been faithful with little will be faithful with more. Let's be found faithful laborers in the vineyard. Let's be found faithfully connected to Christ in such a way that there is good fruit produced. And this fruit then is useful to others. Are you laboring for Christ? Our second point. Dying is nothing to fear. You know, we live in a culture obsessed with the prevention of death. We fear death. We work so hard to delay it. We work so hard to extend life and to preserve a quality of life that doesn't even think of death. Seems as though the highest goal of many is the postponement of death. And I find this fascinating because at the same time that we seek to preserve our own life, we are denying it to unborn children. We'll have to give an account for that. We work so hard to preserve our own life. And Paul is presenting this idea of, you know what? There appears to be this choice, life or death. He says in verse 23, I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. For that is far better. Now, let me have you just clear your thoughts for a moment. And I want you to think of a best friend for a moment. I want you to think of that best friend that you can't wait to get together with. This is that friend that when you have a free day and the fishing pole is calling or the bike is calling or the golf clubs are calling or the hiking boots or whatever, this is that person that you can't wait to schedule some time with. You have an idea in your mind of who that is? That person that you're like, oh, man, can't wait to be with this person. Let me ask you this. Is that how you think of Jesus Christ? Do you have such a love relationship with him that you can't wait to sit at his feet every morning? That you can't wait to turn the pages of his word and to soak in what he has to say? Do you love him so much that you just can't wait? You wake up every morning ready to commune with him in prayer? Paul did. He loved Jesus. He loved Jesus so much that life was Christ and death would be Christ. Paul knew that all that Jesus had done for him. And Paul could not wait to be with Jesus even though he was in prison. How do I know that? How do I know that Paul just loved Christ and couldn't wait to be with him? Well, take a detour for just a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in this, we have a description of this dilemma that we have here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 says this, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make our aim to please him. Didn't matter to Paul. If I'm here or if I'm there, it makes no difference because if I'm here, I'm loving and serving Christ. But if I die, there was nothing that Paul had to fear of death. Nothing. There is not a moment that I read in any of Paul's letters and he knew what the sentence would be. He was so ready to give his life away for the gospel of Jesus Christ that not even death scared him. Is that the ministry that we're engaged in right now? Are we ready to take such risks for the gospel of Jesus Christ that not even death could possibly deter us? That's our example in Paul. That's our example in Paul. So, if you fear death, my question is, why? If you fear death, my question is, why? Do you really know the glory of heaven? Do you really understand your faith? Do you really understand that at confessing Christ and knowing Christ, you have been given a deposit that's kept in heaven? That you will be with him forever? And that it will be far better than your best day here? Gather as much stuff as you want here. Do the best things that you think possible here. It will pale in significance to heaven. because the glory of the Lord will be lighting the streets. There's not going to be need for sunshine. Why? Glory will light our way. Woo! Woo! Amen! Maybe the question I should ask is this. Are you so satisfied with life that you would actually desire to die and be with Christ? Have you lived a life of faithful service so much so to where you've got nothing to fear? Are you so certain of your confession of Christ? Do you know your faith so well that you could depart now and it would be just utter joy? If not, I want you to come talk to me after the service. I want you to fully understand your faith. I want you to fully understand the joy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know without any doubt, God knows our days. We don't. And I want you to know with certainty the promises that are available to the believer that are talked about in the pages of Scripture. We have nothing to fear, men and women. Nothing at all. Last, living helps others and produces joy. Here's something to wrestle with. If I see dying as something not to fear, if I see death from a healthy standpoint of being with Jesus Christ in heaven, if I see death as the ceasing of pain and suffering, then why does God still have me here? If God has given us these promises, if we see dying as nothing to fear, why does God still have you and I here? Maybe we should first go back to that idea of fruitful labor that we talked about earlier in the service from John chapter 15. Maybe the question should be, what is your fruitful labor? You might desire to depart and be with Christ. That's good. That's a healthy goal. But God still has you here, and so you wonder, what's going on? There's a reason for that. You are needed in His army of disciples to spread the gospel. You are needed to pray. You are needed to live a life of integrity and godly character and be an example to someone else. You are very much needed. You are very much needed. You will be needed until the moment, the very moment that God calls you home to be with Christ forever. Why are we still here? Sure, it'd be far easier. We confess Christ as Savior and boom, individual rapture. That'd be kind of cool. But that's not the way it works. We confess Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it begins this journey. And God, being the great potter that He is, He starts to mold, He starts to shape. He starts to do things that you go, oh, I don't know that I will. And I'm a little uncomfortable with that, God. You're pushing in all the wrong places. God says, but I love you. I'm going to push you, and I'm going to mold you, and I'm going to use you, and I have a plan for you. If I didn't, I'd call you home. And at just the right moment, He holds up the finished product and says, my masterpiece, that's you. And it will be used for His purpose, for His glory. That's you. Hey, masterpiece creations, you were molded and shaped for a purpose. You are still here for a purpose, and that's fruitful labor. And that fruitful labor produces some amazing things. That fruitful labor helps others. That fruitful labor produces joy in other believers. You see, what we have here is Paul saying this in verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul is convinced that, you know what, I've looked at these two options. I've kind of even daydreamed about the two options, life or death. Whether it's life or whether it's death, it's all Christ. He says, you know, I'm pretty well convinced. I'm gonna live and I'm going to remain for you. This isn't really a rude or arrogant statement of, I'm so important that God's work can't go on without me. No, Jesus said very clearly that the rocks could cry out. How useful are you and I? We're about as useful as a rock. You know what? Convinced of this, Paul says, I know I will remain and continue with you all for your progress. What is that progress? That's spiritual progress. That's growing in the faith. That's becoming more and more Christ-like. That progress of the faith is that we grow as disciples. We don't just simply make a confession of Christ and then do nothing. That progress of faith is that we learn, we grow, but then that growth is then turned into fruitful labor. That continuing and progress in faith means it's far more than just the Sunday service. What does that also produce? Well, it produces one of the themes of this book, joy. Joy in the faith. I think back of just a few weeks ago, Elaine Ohms finished up Operation Christmas Child boxes. What a joy. Her labor produced nearing 300 boxes to be sent to children all over the world. That's joyful stuff, man. That's incredible. Thank you, Elaine. And yet she would be the first to say, it wasn't me, it was God. You know, we look at the missionaries that we support around the world, and they can tell you what God is doing. And when we have people that come and give a report, doesn't that produce some joy in your heart? When Chris Lenti is here, when the Shaffetz are here, when we have 180 Ministries and the women give testimony to what God is doing, doesn't that bring joy to your heart? Amen. See, your fruitful labor does far more than just check a box. Your fruitful labor does far more than just keep you busy. Your fruitful labor is far more than just avoiding the boss so that you don't have to paint. Your fruitful labor is actually helping people progress in the faith. Your fruitful labor is actually producing joy in the believers so that then it turns them around into producing joy in others. It's this beautiful cycle. The more that you serve, the more that you help others, the more that produces joy, and the more that joy produces service in others, and that's God's design. That we serve, that we help others progress in the faith, and it produces joy. Joy. So here's your application today. Remain fruitful by serving others. Fruitful labor is what Paul is talking about. And until the moment that Christ calls you home, this is how we're to be found. Faithfully serving others. Faithfully serving others. Now, you might say, well, how's that happen? We have made numerous pleas for help in the nursery, help in children's church. We'd love to restart our men's ministry. We'd love to restart our women's ministry. We'd love to add another small group. We'd love for other people to help step up and help with coffee and treats and stuff like that. There's a number of things that you can do. And by the way, I would seriously doubt that the youth group would turn away any help. There's a number of ways that you can serve right here, right now. And not that it's all about New Hope Church, but it's about advancing the gospel with the ministry that God has given this church, this body. We'd love to start reaching out more and more and more and more into this community. God has you here for a reason. God has you here right now for more than just a sermon. I have prayed that the Holy Spirit would start touching your hearts, that it would well up a desire inside of you to serve. I've prayed that God would start causing within our congregation an uprising. Jesus prayed, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Of all the things that Jesus said to pray for laborers, Jesus said, I've been praying for laborers. Will you be one of them? I have been praying for laborers, fruitful laborers, people that are saying, you know what, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. There is no third option. Are you ready to jump in? You don't have to have experience. You don't have to have all the answers. I certainly don't. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have been a Christian very long. You just have to say, here I am, send me. That's it. Again, I'd love to talk to you after service. If you're feeling the Holy Spirit prompt in you, now's the time. Great, let's talk. Let's find a place that you can serve that'll produce joy in others and that'll help others progress in the faith. I believe as we look at the end of this passage, you know, the choice that we talked about in verse 22 comes down to this. How do we respond? The choice of verse 20, what shall I choose? It really comes down to how do we respond? Why we respond the way we do, it's a heart issue. Are you going to faithfully labor in the vineyard? Are you going to be a fruitful laborer? Well, that's really a heart issue. May God touch your heart in such a way that you begin to produce fruit. Fruit that lasts, fruit that benefits others, fruit that glorifies God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've given us this passage as an example of what life looks like and what even death looks like. That for us to live is for you, fruitful ministry. To die is to be with you. And it's a win-win situation. So Father, may we look at living and dying a little differently because you have spoken to us through the pages of your scriptures. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.